Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the best Packer radio show on the internet.
Cheesehead Radio.
I want to be a lifetime
Cheesehead
Green Bay Packer.
You're looking good today.
Look what you're doing.
Aaron Rodgers is the best football player I've ever seen, ever.
Aaron Rodgers goes deep on second and two. He's got to leap in Devontae Adams.
He's a man.
More pressure ball is out. Green Bay got
the Cheesehead family.
Daniels again.
Let's make no mistake about it. This game is won and lost so quick.
Hey, let's go dominate. Don't think 1, 2, 3, dominate.
Cheesehead Radio.
Another edition of Cheesehead Radio. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been doing this show for 9 years. I believe this is our 7,000th show. It is our first show without Mike McCarthy as head coach of the Green Bay Packers. Your host tonight, the ratiocinative CD Angeli. You can catch me at Tundervision on Twitter. The sagacious Kelly Hodgson, that Packer girl on Twitter. Now our usual co-pilot, Jersey Al Bracco, is somewhere riding the fire Mike McCarthy train, now taking a victory lap around the nation. Replacing him in the lineup, however, is legendary good friend John Rahor. Find him at JRahor on Twitter. A wonderful return visit at a very important moment in Packer history. We're going to talk to him in just a moment. Sponsoring the Packers Talk Radio Network, once again, are our good friends, Ticket King. They've been selling Packers, Badgers, and other tickets in Wisconsin for over 25 years and have earned a reputation for excellent customer service and prices. Be sure to check out their website because I'll bet you can get Packer tickets really, really cheaply next week. TheTicketKing.com. Let's get this show on the road.
Who moves my cheese?
All right, guys, so much to talk about this week. A embarrassing loss to the Arizona Cardinals, of course, leading to the firing of head coach Mike McCarthy just a few hours later. We're going to kick it off with who moved my cheese. First of all, our sharp cheddar, the excellent crowd-pleasing favorite, my guy, Devontae Adams. Look, if you're going to tell the whole world right before the game that you think you're the number one receiver in the NFL, you better back it up. And he did.
Okay, I'm going with the snarky answer just because this had to be the most painful game I've seen in a while in person. So my sharp cheddar actually goes to Tim the Usher in my section at Lambeau Field. He is there whether they win or lose. He's a nice quality guy. So since the Packers are stinking up the joint, I'm going to give my sharp cheddar to Tim the Usher dude.
I mean, see, he took my choice. So I'm going to go with Mark Murphy because he cut the cord with McCarthy at exactly the right time.
Jersey, I would tell you that should have been 4 years ago.
He did tell me 4 years ago.
I think he told a lot of us 4 years ago. Moving on to our Swiss cheese. It's good, but it's got some holes in it. My man is going to be Jamal Williams. Now, this guy is maligned every time he comes in for Aaron Jones. And I'll tell you what, as soon as we saw him stepping in for Trevor Davis to kick off for kickoff returns, we all went, what? What are you doing? Dude was sure-handed all night, even had a 30-yard long return.
All right, this is a weird one because he did not have a good game, but I'm going to go with Aaron Rodgers. He was mostly whole, but that sound you heard about second-ish quarter was Jersey Al falling out of his chair because Aaron actually threw a screen pass. And for that, I'm going to give him some points because that seems to be his kryptonite. So very holy Swiss cheese, but it's Aaron Rodgers.
Mine's going to kind of go back to CDs again, but it's going to be Aaron Jones because I think the second-best player in the Packers' offense has been stymied for the last two seasons, and I bet you he's going to get some more touches now that somebody's not at 1265 anymore.
And finally, our Limburger cheese. It's foul-smelling, throw it away. I can't come up with any one person. I mean, we can't say it's Mason Crosby. We're not going to say it's Aaron Wright. It's everybody. The Green Bay Packers are my Limburger cheese. Too many for one person. This was a crumbling team loss.
Well, if you're going to look at Stinky Stank, I think the most egregious and most consistently egregious would be Ron Zook, the special teams, and the flaming garbage that they produce week after week. Can we please have a punt or a kickoff return that does not have a flag just once this entire season? Please, 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 please. They are awful. I'm assuming Ron Zook is gone. So hopefully next year they are not going to be getting any more Limburger, but for right now it's special teams.
Kelly, to answer your question, can they have a punt without or a kickoff without a flag? The answer is no. My Limburger cheese is actually Limburger cheese inside of a dirty diaper inside of a garbage heap that's set on fire, and it's the 2018 season.
Tasty.
Because honestly, this entire season just needs to be burned and gone away. Done.
Oh my! Can
it's
I just say how much I have missed you, John, and these rants? I have missed you. And you thought you were getting a kinder, gentler Rahor. You were so wrong, CD.
No one's crapped the bed yet.
It's only 6 minutes into the show. Just saying.
All right, we have a lot more great Packer talk coming up for you on Cheesehead Radio, but first, let's hear a word from our sponsor.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game tickets from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website, theticketking.com. Again, that's theticketking.com.
The Playbook.
Well, I think we just rip off the Band-Aid, guys. Mike McCarthy fired after a 3-point loss at home to the 2-and-something-or-another Arizona Cardinals. Holy cow. First of all, timing. Early in mid-season, right after the game was done. How do you guys feel about this? John, let's start with you.
I think it was, like I said earlier, I think it was the perfect time. You know, you've got a team which was Super Bowl aspirations to start the season. You just paid your quarterback, $100+ million, and you're sitting at 4-6-1. Your playoff hopes are on the line, and you lost to arguably the worst team in the NFL at home in December in the snow in embarrassing fashion. I don't think they had a choice. I don't care what people were saying about how he earned the right to finish out the season because of his win-loss record. You know, football is a business, and you're in the business to win. He had lost that team. They weren't winning. It was time to go and set a new example of there's a new sheriff in town, and he's not going to put up the BS anymore. This is not the Mark Murphy, you know, that everybody maybe thought he was, the nice guy. Some of us, I know, have opinions of that. Rip the Band-Aid off and let's move on. It's exactly what he did. And I'm going to go on even further. He did it again tonight, or at least Joe Philbin did, by firing Winston Moss about 30 minutes ago for tweeting against criticism against the team. So perfect timing. And I say let's look to the future because that's where we're at.
Okay, so I thought it would happen Monday morning. I went to the game with my daughter, and I was listening to the post-game show on the radio on the way as I was heading out in traffic. It got to 6 o'clock. Game ended. They didn't mention it once. And 5 minutes later, my daughter, who's, like, surfing the internet on her phone, is like, hey, Mom, look at this. I'm like, I can't look. What is it? I'm driving. She's like, they canned McCarthy. I'm like, wow. I had a feeling it was going to happen this week because there's no way there would be he would get by unscathed if they lost to the Cardinals, and then they just flamed out and lost to the Cardinals. I agree. The timing was right. It gives us a jump on looking for another head coach, but it's also gives us 4 games to kind of reclaim their dignity because I think they grenaded out in epic fashion this week. And I'm with John. It's time to rip the Band-Aid off and just start new. I was a little shocked by Winston Moss getting canned tonight, but it's really sending a message that they're cleaning house and they're going to sweep everything out that is not going to be forward-thinking and moving this team in the right direction. So I kind of like the guts that the organization is taking right now. Unfortunately, it took 12 games to get there, but let's see what happens with the last 4.
Oh, you know, I have a hard time. And obviously, you know, because Jersey Al just rode me because, you know, it took you so long to come around to my way of thinking they need to get rid of McCarthy. And I get it. I was kind of shocked that he was fired midseason. And I've come to grips with that. Yes, I sat there and I thought, well, you know, Mike Sherman made it to the end of the season. Ray Rhodes made it to the end. Lindy Infante made it to the end of the season. This is the first coach ever fired midseason in Packer history ever. But I'm okay with it. I did think that they could have waited till Monday, and I don't think we lose anything in that process. I've heard 2 different reports. I don't know which one you guys know may be accurate or not. I've heard 1 report that said Mike McCarthy went in front of at least some of the members of his team to tell him he'd been fired. He broke down sobbing, had to be consoled. Okay. The other story I heard is that players were finding out the same way we did over Twitter that their coach was fired. To me, yes, McCarthy is the problem. He's been the problem. I think we've determined that all year. He did win a Super Bowl for us, and I think there's a point where it doesn't have to be quite so unceremonious. And if anything else, maybe even just a little humiliating.
But humiliating why?
Well, because you didn't give him any gravitas. He didn't get a chance to address the team. He didn't get, you know, it was really done in a way to say, you lost, you're fired. Just very suddenly. I mean, you don't get a night to go home and think about it. Maybe Murphy was afraid if he went home and he slept on it, he wouldn't do it the next day. I don't know. But yeah, I guess I felt like maybe for as angry as we've been with Mike McCarthy this year, there's still a level that we could have said, hey, thanks for everything. Here's a day. Let's have a nice press conference. Farewell.
I'm going to take the Zen approach to it. I'm more likely to believe there was an emotional goodbye in the locker room versus being surprised on Twitter, but I could be totally wrong. I haven't sourced any of this information, so I'm just taking a guess. it sounds like things are deteriorating throughout the year. I think we can read between the lines with that. And you're looking at Winston Moss throwing shade. It sounds like the discord goes beyond just McCarthy. And maybe it was so toxic they just had to be abrupt about it. It's like, you know, kind of like the Office Space canning where they show up and say, pack your box and get out of here. And I've posted that meme a couple times this week that I'm okay with the abruptness of it as long as there's dignity to it. If you ever watch Top Chef, you know, Padma Lakshmi is the one that always sends you packing. And she just thanks you for your time and then says, please pack your knives and go. There isn't a prolonged goodbye. It's just we're moving forward. And it's almost surgical about it. I don't think we need to, you know, tar and feather the guy on his way out of town. It's always emotional when you spent, what, 13 years there? Is that correct? Am I counting it right? No, maybe.
Yeah,
that's correct.
13.
Yeah.
13.
Wow, that seems like a lot. So there are going to be deep, you know, genuine relationships, and saying goodbye kind of sucks. But I think if things were very emotional and heated at the end, that perhaps just being abrupt and showing them the door might have been the ripping, you know, the very main thing to do is just rip the Band-Aid off and be done with it.
I'm going to go one other way, and then we can move on to, you know, something else if we want to. But what if he was fired because he got called into Murphy's office and they just had it out and just started screaming at each other? Ultimately, Murphy is the one, you know, because of their bizarre power structure. Murphy's the one that had the chance or the ability to fire him. And maybe he called him into his office and they had a heart-to-heart, which turned into a lot of, you know, going at it. And Murphy's like, you know what? You're done. You're fired. Get out. It would not be the first time that somebody has gotten fired for losing their temper in front of their boss. I hope that's not the case. We know that McCarthy can be a fiery guy, but I also know that he's a good man. And I would hope that he would not have had his final moments in the organization as one screaming at Mark Murphy. Because of the play on the field. You have to hope that didn't happen. But like everything else inside of those walls, probably never know the full truth.
Now, our good friend Mark Dudziak on Twitter, you know, Duds, he's been around for a while. He did post a little bit of a rumor. I don't know if I've seen it corroborated, but he said that Brian Gutekunst left the locker room after the game seething mad, like furious, walked out of that locker room furious. I think within 2 hours, McCarthy was fired. So, you know, you're saying maybe it was something where there's a conversation or a blow up. I wonder if Gutekunst just went into that locker room and saw the attitude, whether it be from McCarthy or whether it be from the players, and said, this is done, went up to Murphy and said, it's him or me. Pick one.
You know, we're
not
talked
doing
about
this anymore.
We talked about this Sunday night, CD.
We did.
You know, if you read Twitter, everyone's quick to blame Rodgers. It's like, oh, the prima donna got the coach fired. Yeah, that's possible. But I think if Dudziak's source is correct and it was Gutekunst that blew up, I could definitely see it as a situation because he didn't have hiring and firing privileges with the coach that he might have stormed into Murphy's office and said, okay, this is it, you or me. And I think that would be more believable because, I don't know, it just sounds plausible. And the thing is, we're never going to know. But if we're going to wear tinfoil hats, we might as well talk about all the theories out there. And this one is just as plausible as Rogers having a conniption and making sure it gets fired. But honestly, I think I lean more towards a GM that's had a, been cut off at the knees really, really mad, because at the end of the day, he's got more power.
Well, let's transition just a little bit and talk a little bit about this power structure thing. And I think we do need to talk about this. I know you dismissed it a second ago, but Aaron Rodgers has come under a little bit of criticism. And your favorite tight end ever, Mark Chmurly, what's his name? Mark Chmurly? Chmura apparently does a radio show down in Milwaukee and essentially called Aaron Rodgers a diva who got his coach fired. Now, personally, I may have thought this, but he doesn't get to say it. Not Mark Chmurly. He doesn't get to say that aloud. I can think it, but he, no, you know, that's the way we Packer fans are, you know. It's like, hey, it doesn't matter if we think he's wrong or not. Don't threaten our players. Don't cut on our players. We'll still defend them. But that's, which is the way it kind of goes. Do you guys think that there was a power struggle between McCarthy and Rodgers this year that may have contributed to this detriment of the team this year?
I'm going to let Kelly go first because I can talk for hours.
Okay, so if you follow Peter Bukowski on Twitter, he's got lots of opinions, and he tends to be more favorable when it comes to Rodgers. And he points out that every single quarterback in the league is an MF-er, is what he used. I won't say the words because we are a kid-friendly show. And Aaron Rodgers happens to be ours. They're paid to be that way. There is not one of the 32 quarterbacks in the league that doesn't have an enormous ego. They have been groomed to be such since Pop Warner. So does he have an ego? I honestly don't care because they all do. But what you do with that is what kind of defines you as a quarterback. You know, Tom Brady has a hissy and screaming on the sidelines. I think we can all count the games that he's done it at. And that's one thing we really don't see Rodgers do.
But I do not doubt
that there is a power struggle that went on with him. And, you know, you started to get hints. I think it was Cobb that mentioned it this week, that there was a lot of questioning the play calling. And, yeah, I think it came to a head. I'm not surprised. And I think Rodgers had a right to push back, because if we're complaining about the offensive scheme, the play calling, and the predictability of it, don't you think that he is, and the offense as a whole is doing it? You know, you call a run play, he rolls his eyes. That sounds like, what's that part of the story? Does that make him a diva? I don't think it makes him any more of a diva than the other 31 quarterbacks in the league. And I know John's going to take a different view on this, but I guess I can't get excited about it, because I think it's a non-issue because they all do it.
Let me put my let me get comfy here for this. So I remember, I don't know, 5-6 years ago, I got absolutely destroyed on various forms of social media because I said that Mr. Rodgers, that sounds so weird, Mr. Rodgers was a diva. And we would find out at some point down the road. And I'm not saying that he is a full-on, full-fledged, like his predecessor was. However, I do think he has a certain swagger about him where he wants things to go his way. So when you think you know more than your boss, you're probably going to have a relationship deteriorate, regardless of how successful that boss made you. And I don't think anyone can doubt that Mike McCarthy at least had a hand in Rodgers' success. Came out of Cal. Let's pretend that the first year he was in the league didn't count, okay? But McCarthy led him from a pretty bad first, second, third-year quarterback to where he is right now. Time he learned that his offense, maybe he knows a little bit more than his boss does. So now you start to butt heads a little bit, which was obvious on TV multiple times. When you're criticizing your boss in plain view of everybody, something's going to give. And I think what gave was the team had to take a look and say, are we going to go anywhere with this relationship in the next 5 years, as long as he's a healthy quarterback, assuming he doesn't get injured and, you know, have to retire or whatever. And the answer is no. The relationship had reached a point where it deteriorated to the point where it could no longer go forward. So now, do you really want to keep McCarthy around any longer than you have to? And I would say the answer is no. Do I think Rodgers played to get his boss fired? No. What I do think he did not do well this year in particular was defend his boss. In years past, whether he meant it or not, he would come out and say that me and Mike McCarthy have a great working relationship. And McCarthy would say the exact same thing. Didn't have any of that this year. I think that it had reached a point where it was done. And I think everybody kind of read it over the last couple of years that it was reaching a point of being done. And I think it was done. If it comes to light, and once again, it never will probably, that he played poorly enough to get his boss fired. The semi-professionals voiced their opinion on something, which I said almost a decade ago. And at that point, I can sit back and go, I told you so. But let's hope that doesn't happen.
So I'm going to jump in here, and I'm going to point out something that Mike Freeman said earlier this week. He had talked to Jeff Saturday, who had briefly had a stint several years back as our center after kind of quasi-retiring from Indy, that, you know, talking about Discord, about Aaron rolling his eyes in the huddle, dating back to 2012. And so I think this power struggle, disagreement and play calling or whatever goes back, you know, since my kid was in kindergarten. But that made me really think of the first time I noticed that McCarthy and Rodgers were butting heads. And for me, that was, I can pinpoint it to a game in 2013. It was week three against the Bengals. It was a road game. And it was some stupid play. And I remember it just kind of blew up. It didn't go anywhere. And then we punted. And I remember Rodgers and McCarthy going at each other on the sideline. It was just brief and then it was over. But there was this flash of anger from both of them. And that's when I thought, ooh, things are not good. And I distinctly remember then by Wednesday, Aaron was backtracking, like John was saying, and defending his coach. You know, oh, no, I agree. It's a collaboration. You know, all the buzzwords that you hear from HR on the let's play nice together type things that you have the talk. And, you know, okay, we have to have a unified front. And I think the only thing that's different this year, and John, I think you're absolutely correct, is that unified front went away. There's been disagreement for years, and you have a really good point. If you've got a franchise quarterback and that does not get along with kind of a stale coach, it's going to be the stale coach that goes, diva notwithstanding.
I brought up several weeks ago on the show, Aaron Rodgers is saying to himself, well, I did my job. I got 20 touchdowns. I've got one interception. Can't blame it on me. I'm going to go to the locker room. You go figure out who did something wrong. Now, this is a far cry from relax or shh or run the table. And I do think Rodgers, as you kind of suggested, he's kind of saved McCarthy's butt many times by coming out of his little introverted shell and saying, well, here we go, guys. Let's, you know, let's win it at the end of the season again and backs against the wall. And we did it year after year after year. And I think this year he just said, I'm not doing it. I think that the message from McCarthy had gotten stale, gotten old. He goes back to the drawing board, and it's the same drawing every year, year after year. I think, yes, do I think Aaron Rodgers contributed to that? Maybe by just saying, I'm not going to save your butt this time. I'm just going to watch what I'm doing. I'm going to throw away balls because I don't want it to affect my quarterback rating or make something bad happen, sure. But I think this is a spotlight that we see because of number 12, but I think it was a team-wide issue that the message was stale. It was time for him to go.
Well, look at how the players really are not rallying to, maybe that's just, maybe they never do, but you're not seeing this huge outrage from any players or passive-aggressive comments on how he got fired. There's the silence is kind of resounding.
Maybe they've gotten a message too. Maybe the message, you know, came tonight full force. If you talk about our team, you're going to lose your job. I mean, I'm going to talk about Winston Moss for 1 second. You know, first of all, if it was truly his Twitter account, okay, and we don't know, there's no check mark. Aaron Nagler says it's him. We don't know. Let's just assume that it was him, okay? If you go on social media and you blast your team, you blast your employer, do you really think that you're not going to get fired? Like, that is just, it's stupid. Anybody who has any, you know, job is kept most likely as some sort of social media policy. And Winston Moss just paid the price for being a moron, you know, for voicing his opinion, even if it was a positive opinion. Maybe the players got the same message. You know, maybe the players got the message of like, if you come out and speak out against, you know, the team in any way, you're gone. I don't know. Maybe what Mark Murphy is doing is he's finally realizing like time is ticking down here on this organization and it's, you know, run of success. And, oh man, I only got one Super Bowl on my watch here. I've got to get at least another one or so with this, you know, all-time great quarterback here. Otherwise, I'm going to be looked at as quite possibly one of the worst executives in the history of the team.
Oh, I was just saying, it really looks like the organization, I think you started to see whispers of it when they got rid of HaHa and Montgomery a few weeks ago, is they're really clamping down on there is no I in team, or I like to say there is no I in shut up and do the work. But I think they really are trying to write a team that seems very rudderless right now. Whether it's Aaron not rallying the troops, like you said, but there definitely is a sense of apathy. And I think they're just trying to light a fire under their butt that you're either with us or we're going to send you packing. And if you've got a team that's in a tailspin like this, I don't think that's a bad idea.
I'm going to take what you said, Kelly, and I'm going to turn it on its head a little bit. So they cut Demarius. They trade Demarius Randle because, you know, he's a pain. And Ty Montgomery and HaHa and all these other guys. And you say, well, it's positive because we're sending a message. Or maybe they're cutting what they think the cancers are. Well, let's cut Randle. Now the team will be fine. Team's not fine. Well, we're going to cut HaHa. Now the team will be fine. It's not fine. Let's get rid of Ty Montgomery. Well, still not fine. Finally, where does it get to? Mike McCarthy. They had to get to where the real problem was. And so maybe they were spending this time getting rid of symptoms, and now they finally found the problem.
But isn't it interesting also that everybody that you just mentioned has ties to one person, and that's Ted Thompson. So when they say that Ted Thompson, you know, took on his consultant's role or whatever it is, you know, Ted was fired. I mean, let's face facts. Ted was fired of his job. And I think, in fairness, what they should have done is fired Ted and Mike at the same time. And like anybody would disagree that they gave, you know, Goot, a lame duck coach who was already on, you know, the downward spiral of his time in that with that team. So by not firing McCarthy, did they basically waste a year? Because this is a wasted year. And now next year, when they have a brand new head coach, assuming that Joe Philbin is not named the permanent head coach, which I hope to God does not happen, will next year be a wasted year as they transition into a new coaching staff?
This relationship of Mark Murphy and Brian Gutekunst, a real strange beginning to this. Obviously, as you said, Mike McCarthy has had people, you know, getting shot all around him for years before it, you know, the gun finally found him. But, you know, we bring in Brian Gutekunst, but we say we're going to silo him. You know, you're going to be equal to Mike McCarthy, which means you can't fire him, which is, I still think, generally unusual for a general manager. He's stuck with the head coach he didn't necessarily choose, and Mark Murphy kind of put himself as a full power base. He had all the power, and then everything fell apart. Now he's, you know, firing McCarthy, and where do you see this relationship now with Gutekunst and Murphy? Do you think that it's close, or do you, I mean, where do you think that's headed?
Who knows? I mean, honestly, this is the – so you have a general manager who's not really a GM because Murphy has the final say-so. So did he just put, like, a puppet in there? Kind of. He'd been around for a while. But I read – I don't remember where I read it, but, you know, that Murphy has decisions on player personnel, and it's like, no. Like, that's – no. If you're doing that, stop. You're completely defeating the purpose of having a GM. Your job, if you want to be in the ivory tower, is run the organization like you did in the past when it was successful. And the more you put your hands on the roster, the more lack of success it seems to have. So let the GM run the team, let the coach coach the team, and go back up to, you know, the ivory tower and count your pennies.
It's the more I look at it, the more concerning it gets, because the closest things the Packers have to an actual owner and CEO is Mark Murphy. So you look at other owners other than Jerry Jones, and like John said, it's a division of power. You know, it's the right person for the right job. The coach coaches, the general manager kind of manages the team and the hiring and the firings. But it seems like with this power strata, you've got Mark Murphy fashioning himself more like a Jerry Jones. And if you look at Dallas, yeah, there's sometimes he develops a great team. Other times, it's just his ego implodes on itself. And, you know, you got Mark Murphy, who's so thrilled about developing the commercial district around Green Bay. And maybe that's what he's good at, but maybe he shouldn't have that much power when it comes to hiring and firing, because he isn't an owner. He was elected by the board. He needs to answer to somebody. Right now it's the board. I don't know if he's amassed enough power that he's stronger than the board right now. And this is one of those unique conundrums that you have because we're not a single owner team. Did we have a president that suddenly had a power grab where he's got more power than he should have?
Well, I think we're going to find out soon, because obviously we're going to have to start talking about head coaches. And I think we're going to do this on the other side of our tweets. Let's see.
Packer tweets from Packer Peeps.
We are all going to present a tweet that we thought was one of the best Packer tweets from this upcoming or from this past weekend. Obviously, a lot going on with the game and a lot going on with McCarthy being fired. We're all going to say our choices, and then we're going to vote for which one we think will be this week's tweet of the week. So, Kelly, we'll start with you.
I'm going with my perennial favorite, Twickball. He's actually retweeting himself from September, and it goes like this. At Twickball. From September, this aged well. At Twickball. My hashtag deep conspiracy theory is the Packers brought back Joe Philbin to take over as caretaker head coach if McCarthy is canned. Oh my God, can Twickball pick some lottery numbers for me? Because this was actually a tweet from September.
Wow. Well, mine is going to come from our good friend, the Packer Ranter. This one actually came before McCarthy was fired, but I thought it was pretty good. I once thought I had mono for an entire year. It turns out I was just watching that game.
Oh, that's cold.
I know. John Boy.
Mine comes from friend of show, Ty Dunn. Seems pretty clear here. Brett Favre returns to Green Bay as head coach, benches Aaron Rodgers, inserts himself as starting quarterback.
Just the way
seems totally legit there, John.
Wanted. All right,
I found that.
The week here. We need the tweet of the week here. Kelly, you can't vote for yourself. Who are you taking?
I'm going to go with the Packer Ranter because I felt like I had mono watching the game too.
Let's see. I am going to vote for – I got to vote for Ty Dunn on this one. That's actually pretty clever. So we got one vote for me, one vote for John. John, you get to pick your favorite tweet. We can't pick your own.
And I am going to totally screw the pooch. I'm going to vote for Twickball. Because
nice.
I think it's 100% accurate.
Well, you know, a tie is quite fitting considering the season the Packers are having.
Everybody wins, or as we like to say, everyone loses, but we do have three winners, and to Twickball, the Packer Ranter, and Ty Dunn, you have this week's
Tweet of the Week.
All right. So, we've bemoan the past. We said, here's what's happened. We've done our autopsy. Now it's time to start looking for the future. A new head coach. What are we looking for in a head coach, guys? What do we need to be the new head coach of the Green Bay Packers? Because I'll tell you what, guys, as appealing as everyone likes to say the Green Bay Packers position is, this team's kind of a complex mess right now. So, Kelly, let's start with you. What are we looking for in a coach, and do you have any people in mind off the top of your head?
I think you need somebody that's innovative in offense, because I think while the defense needs improvement, I think the offense, despite having one of the better quarterbacks ever and Devontae Adams and Aaron Jones, needs some innovation, and it needs a breath of fresh air inserted into it. I look at a lot of the names, and one that really stands out to me is Oklahoma's coach Lincoln Riley. I think to be innovative, you shouldn't go and retread coaches that have gone through the head coaching circuit. Like, I really don't want a Bruce Arians or Jeff Fisher or any of these people that have been hired and fired numerous times in the past 10 years. I think you really need somebody new. I really do like Riley. I think he would be that spark. I think he'd be able to get a good grasp of Aaron Rodgers and help direct him. So I think you really need to be looking in the college ranks.
John, what do you think?
I think this is twofold. I think you need someone who has an innovative offensive mind because it is an offensive-based team. Obviously, you've got the best quarterback in the NFL on the team. But I also think you need someone who's not afraid to some of those players who need to have maybe, like, not a friend as a coach. I'm not saying McCarthy was a friend, but a fiery individual on the sidelines. And I really like Josh McDaniels. I know that Kelly is probably going to throw a pitchfork at me through the phone.
Hack up a hairball, but okay.
Here's why. We have, let's say, 5 years left of Aaron Rodgers, okay? You can't have a retread coach coaching that man and coaching that offense for the next 5 years. You have to be able to get the most out of him in the time he's still there. Don't bring somebody from college who may not be able to transition their program to the NFL. Bring someone who's in the NFL right now. And yes, he had a go around before. He was an overmatched kid when he was in Denver. The guy has been under Belichick for a while. Doesn't necessarily mean success. He's got a good offensive mind. And I'd be willing to bet he can get the most out of Rodgers with who he currently has on the team. And that is something that we need right now.
Well, I got a feeling it's not going to be Winston Moss.
Well, he's not a very offensive-minded coach, or much of a coach at this point at all.
He might be offensive, just not the kind of offense we need. But I'm really looking at, and I just wrote an article on this that will probably be a little bit either controversial or just dismissed as stupid over at Packers Talk. But I kind of agree with you that there are many personality types that are out there, and I think all of them are going to bring good ideas. But when you have a guy like Aaron Rodgers, you really have to make a decision on what you're doing with this team. Are you bringing in a coach who is going to channel Aaron Rodgers and get him disciplined and do what Winston Moss said, you know, give him Lombardi standards? Or are you looking long-term, like after Aaron Rodgers is done? I mean, McCarthy was here for 13 years. Aaron Rodgers is not going to be here for 13 years. Mike Holmgren was there for 7. Aaron Rodgers isn't going to play for another 7 years. So is this a, we need to quickly rebuild and quickly win another ring for Aaron Rodgers so we don't waste his years? Or are we looking long-term, and that means whether Aaron's here or not? If you think about it, Brett Favre was almost exactly where Aaron Rodgers is now in 2005 when we brought in Mike McCarthy. Mike McCarthy is a logistical, statistical, we're going to do the same thing. I'm going to manage this game. And if things go wrong, guess what? We're going to go back to the drawing board and we're going to do pretty much the same thing anyway. That did not work well, nor did I think he ever channeled Brett Favre. And guess what, guys? By the time we won a Super Bowl, the all-star MVP future Hall of Fame quarterback was no longer with the team. Is this what you want for Aaron Rodgers? So there's where we really have to have some inner debate with ourselves, because is it Rodgers or is it the future of the franchise?
I think you build a head coach for the future of the franchise. If you want to this, and this sounds kind of cliche, perhaps cliche, because you know the 7 degrees of separation with Aaron Rodgers, I'm playing that right now. If you want to get a hold of Aaron Rodgers, get him less rudderless, perhaps you bring in somebody like Jeff Tedford. You know, his coach from Cal as a quarterback's coach, just to calm things down, get things settled, and get him focused again. You know, you definitely need a quarterback whisper. Does it have to be the head coach? No, but I think it's imperative that you get a head coach, not for one player, but to get the team headed in the right direction. If you've got certain players you need to address and coach, I think you need to find an assistant coach for that type of purpose.
Rodgers has said that he desperately wants to be coached, right? When he said that, I think Van Pelt was still his quarterback's coach. I'd have to go back and look. I always took that as kind of like a slight on McCarthy, because who was his first teacher? It was McCarthy, right? This is a man.
Oh, I absolutely took that as a slight. Yeah.
Right. This is a man who needs to have someone tell him, you may be the best quarterback on the planet, but you're still just a player, and I'm your coach. And what you're doing is this, 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 and that's the way it is. CD, what you said about where Favre was when McCarthy got hired, that is the exact same thing I said to our friend Chris Burke on Facebook when he wrote something at Acme Packer Nation, because he is at the exact same age when McCarthy got to Green Bay that Favre was. I'm almost pretty sure, or maybe within a year. So it's amazing how things come full circle, you know. And now, do you choose a coach for the quarterback or choose for the team? I think at this point, you find a coach for the quarterback so you can get another title, because as we've said, 30 years of success doesn't come around very often. At some point, this team is going to decline, but you better not let it decline when you got a $100 million quarterback under center who's only winning 4 games a year.
A very young Mike Holmgren was working for the San Francisco 49ers and was named the quarterback's coach. And the first guy that he had to be the coach for was this guy named Joe Montana. And if you watch the interview with Mike Holmgren, he'll admit he was scared to death. What am I going to do? I'm in my 20s, in my 30s or early 30s. What am I going to tell Joe Montana? And he was scared to death. He was nervous in the meeting, could barely look Joe Montana in the eye, and he's supposed to be his coach. And Joe Montana went up to Mike Holmgren, young Mike Holmgren, and said, do not be afraid to coach me. Do not be afraid to tell me what I am doing wrong. Do not stop making me better than what I think I can. And Mike Holmgren said that was all the difference in the world for that job and for the rest of his career. Because think of the other coaches he had, Steve Young, Brett Favre, Matt Hasselbeck, all these cocky guys. and he was never afraid to coach them. So the fact that Aaron Rodgers is saying that, John, is very significant to me. I hope he means it. So, any other head coaching candidates come to mind? I know I have my guy that I've been looking at that nobody likes, but Jim Harbaugh seems to be a guy who's a cult of personality. He's a guy that I would consider just because I think he's one of the few guys who I think could out-ego Aaron Rodgers and possibly bring this on to himself. We've got guys like Daniels. We've got Jim Harbaugh, who may be fired this year from Ravens. Do you guys get the feeling it's just going to end up being someone we've never really heard of and is not on the radar right now?
Like Mike McCarthy was?
Exactly.
I mean, he was a coach. I mean, did anybody really expect for him to become the coach of the Packers in 2006? I mean, yeah, he was the quarterback's coach for one season, but and he had been in with the 49ers, I believe.
Yes.
But before then, did anybody think that this guy was going to come into Green Bay and run him for the next 13 years? I did not.
It was
so,
a dark horse, I can tell you that.
Absolutely.
There's a whole lot of other names that keep coming up. And, like, if you just Google prospective head coaches for the Packers, and it kind of lines up with everything. I think that the funnier thing to talk about is the ridiculous things that have been proposed, like Brett Favre and bringing Holmgren back. And, you know, it's like, okay, we can't get past thinking past the past 20 years. We're going to keep staying in that cycle. It's comical. Or that we had to get approval from the owners. There was another proposal I saw on Facebook. Like, wait a second, what? I bought a piece of paper at the stock. I don't get any voting privilege on that. But what I think is really important, regardless of who we pick, it's got to be beyond the current cadre of coaches that we've had. You know, McCarthy, Clements, Philbin. You know, I think we need something completely different. We have to cast a wider net. Because I think we have to get out of this rut, and I think that's really important. And I'm actually excited to see what happens.
If they make a bad decision on the coach, the next coach of the Packers, a la like Ray Rhodes, I think we will probably not see another Super Bowl win with Aaron Rodgers as our quarterback. I think that this team needs to go into a win now, well, win within the next, let's say, 3 years mode right now. And I don't think that that is the case right now. The sad thing is the roster is just absolute crap. Ted Thompson absolutely pooped the bed the last 3 years he was the GM.
Yes!
And they, there
thank you.
And they are saddled with absolute garbage all over the roster through no fault of their own. Think about all the
Where
guys.
Where were you two weeks ago when we were talking about this, John? I'm so glad you brought this up.
Think about all of the guys that are currently on the team that are just foundations for the current Packers that are going to be gone next year. Clay Matthews is gone. Randall Cobb is gone. T-Mac could be gone. All these guys that they were so hopeful were going to win another title with, they're gone. All this money that's tied up in their salary is gone. So what do you do with it? I'll tell you what they better do with it. You better go out and sign people that are better than Jimmy Graham, who hasn't done jack diddly squat since he set foot in that building. You need to go out and find players that are going to impact right now with your new coach so you can get another title in that building in the next couple of years before your world-class quarterback goes into oblivion and retires. If they do not do that, and it's going to start with the head coach, they will have made a calculated error that Packer fans will never, ever, ever forgive. And that's the thing about the firing McCarthy that is so interesting in the timing of it. If they screw this up, how many fans will be pissed at this team for a decade plus? Because they will truly know that they wasted Rodgers' best years by not supplying him with the talent around him he needed to win another title. There's your rant, D.
And that was your
Hot Pocket. Yeah, let me do my Hot Pocket. I'm going to expound on what John said. Sometimes when you're gardening, your whole garden gets full of weeds and you have to nuke the whole thing and start over. And I think we're getting to that point. He's right. We've got a bunch of okay players that for whatever reason McCarthy was incredibly loyal to that haven't produced. You've got like a Clay Matthews, a Nick Perry. We've talked about them being gone. Randall Cobb. He's had like two or three plays the entire season, and he's not been hurt. That's it. I think it's time to move on from Brian Bulaga. He's hurt. I think it's time to nuke the garden, get the industrial strength weed killer, and replant. And that, whether that's free agency and the draft, it's got to happen this year. I think John's absolutely right, because the clock really is ticking now. We've been saying that for since 2012, that, you know, Rodgers' window keeps getting smaller and smaller. Well, it's getting smaller and smaller, and he's not getting any younger. So I think we have to reload entirely and reimagine this team. And with the swiftness of personnel changes in the past couple of weeks, I find that very refreshing. We're not going to sit back on our laurels. We're not going to settle for, hey, these are a bunch of nice guys. I think it's now or never, or it's going to be the 80s all over again. And I know that's really extreme, but I'm old enough to remember the 80s, and just like the two of you, and it was not a pretty time in Green Bay. I want to like going to games. I want to go and cheer. I want them to win. I don't want to leave feeling like, oh, this is so exhausting. So I'm excited to see what happens, first of all, in free agency. There has to be a big signing, and I really hope it's something on defense, whether it's a linebacker, whether it's a safety. We need something, because both are woefully lacking, and unless this gets going in free agency, it's going to bode poorly for the next season. I think we have to start working towards not a building season of nothing next year. It has to be a very aggressive season, and that is my
hot pocket.
The Green Bay Packers, assuming they get at least one more loss over the last four games, this will be the first time since 1991 that they have had two consecutive losing seasons. Now, I don't know if you remember 1991, but it was a year of pretty major upheaval. We lost Tom Brotts as GM, we lost Lindy Infante as head coach, and we began a process that essentially shed every player from that roster by the time they got to the Super Bowl years. I think the only holdover was Leroy Butler. So
he was the last. He was the last to go from the Infante era.
Exactly. So as we look at this, we have to understand where some of the level of panic is at 1265. Yes, we've gotten away with a losing season or a little bit of a lull. But even Mike Sherman, as much as everyone loves to get all twisty in the underwear about him, guy led us to, what, three straight NFC North titles and four straight playoff appearances? And then we missed one and he got fired. We had Ray Rhodes, who had one 8-8 season, got fired. There's a lot riding on the Packers being a successful football team. We are in the smallest market. It's not even a funny smallest market. This is not just like, oh, we're Charlotte. This is a small town that does not have a lot of wealth. So the Packers mean a lot to this community. And John can attest, boy, even in 2011, if we wanted to get cheap tickets for a playoff game, supply and demand, you could get a ticket for less than face value. And I think you're going to start seeing that again next week. There's a lot of hotels. There's a lot of places in town that count on the tourism of those games and just to sell their hats, T-shirts, and jerseys year-round. But now the Packers have also invested in the Titletown District. A big hotel, a big sledding hill, and an ice rink. It's a nice place. I've been there a couple times. They also need to make sure that they have a product on the field that people want to come and see. If we become the Buffalo Bills, that Titletown District's just going to be kind of a, I don't know, like the old Hall of Fame from years ago that was attached to the arena. Just this kind of sad place, you know, a couple people go to visit. The Packers need to keep winning, and they have an unprecedented streak. 28 years? 24 years? 25 years? It's crazy. No other team has had this kind of lengthy extended success. Let's hope it continues, but in order for that to happen, I have a feeling you're going to see the same kind of change that you saw in 1992. And that is my
Hot Pocket.
Cheesehead Radio. Packers game predictions.
Well, not like it matters much, but the Packers are going to keep on playing. It will be interesting to watch our first game with Joe Philbin as head coach. The Atlanta Falcons, also kind of a stinky team. They're on a four-game losing streak. They're going to take their turn coming to Lambeau and try to embarrass the Packers at home. This Sunday, 12 o'clock, only four wins on the season for the Falcons, same as the Packers. John, what's your prediction?
You know, they're going to win another game this season, but it's not going to be this week. I think that the first week of Philbin is just going to, unfortunately, be a continuation of the McCarthy era, at least for 1 week. And I'm going to pick a 24-21 loss at home. And I'm sorry.
All right. It's okay. I think both Kelly and I picked the Packers to lose this week. Might be. That one hurt, and unfortunately it came true. I think the Packers are going to come up with a win. I don't think it's going to be pretty, but I think the message is being sent that a few guys are going to start playing like their job is on the line, or they're going to start auditioning for their next job. I'm going to say Packers 23, Falcons 15.
Okay, I'm back. I had to stop Evil Dog from eating a jacket. I thought this past week was where the Packers were going to go off the rails. I'm actually going to be pretty optimistic, and I think they're going to win. It's not going to be pretty. It's going to be Packers 21, Falcons 10, because even a broken clock is twice a day, and I think this is going to be our twice-a-day game. So Packers win, and I hopefully it's not the only win in the next four.
I sure hope not. All right, we are at the end of the show. John Rahor, thank you for joining us tonight. This was actually quite awesome having you back.
Well, thank you very much, you know, for having me back on. You know, I spent a lot of time on the show, and, you know, it was sad to leave, but it is glad to, you know, when I can come back and chat Packers football with some of my good peeps, and especially at a time when there's so much upheaval going on at 1265. You guys know I love the drama, and oh, the drama is here.
But you have to promise to come back when they're doing well again, because that'll be fun to talk. I know we have been beating a dead horse all season on what's been wrong with the team. It'll be so refreshing to celebrate what's going really well with them again in the future, and I hope you join us for that.
I would absolutely love to. Phone, you know, just pick up the phone and call. I will be more than happy to rant good things as much as the bad things.
Nice. Well, with that, ladies and gentlemen, let's call it a wrap.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us tonight on Cheesehead Radio in our ninth, count 'em, ninth season. Make sure to head over to PackersTalk.com, where you can explore several unique Packers podcasts. Please follow at PackersTalkNet on Twitter and like us on Facebook. Cheesehead Radio and all Packer Talk podcasts are available on iTunes. Just Google Packers Talk iTunes and you'll find it. Be sure to subscribe and please leave us a review. You can also listen to us using Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, or your favorite podcatching app and search for Packers Talk. Finally, please be sure to support our sponsor, Ticket King. You can find them on the web at theticketking.com. Chances are there are tickets available for this Sunday. That's theticketking.com. That's a wrap. It was great having you back, John. Go Pack, go.
Go Pack, go, everybody. We'll see you next week.
Cheesehead Radio.